in this story, this delightful story of parenting, the invitation of the story is to enter into the experience of Mary, especially, as she copes with the reality of an adolescent who is distinctively connected to God. And so the dynamic of this story is to lead us as listeners into a high degree of sympathetic identification with Mary as she copes with her son. Now, one of the first things to identify in relation to this is that Jesus is 12 years old. Now, often this story is told of him as a child, and I have heard recordings of it in which he has a child's voice. This is a young man. He's not a child. He's 12 years old. And so it's important when you tell this not to tell it in a young voice, but rather of the voice of a young man. It may even be that his voice has changed, as happens with a significant number of 12-year-olds. But regardless of that, which we will never know, of course, historically, he is, in this story, one who has come of age and is 12 years old. The second episode of this story is an experience of deep anxiety, of parental panic, when they discover that he's not there. So the background of this is the terror of every parent of losing their child. I remember the experience of that, you know, walking down the street or of going somewhere and of experiencing the possibility of losing one of our children. And so it's okay to tell that second episode in a tone of real anxiety. They found him then after 3 days. So they're running around the city looking for him for 3 days. And when they found him, then he was sitting among the teachers and he had been at school in the temple the entire time, having a great time learning. Mary's address to him is usually translated as child, and that is the literal meaning of the Greek word technon. But it also refers to a young man, and I think it is far better to translate this as young man, so that when she spoke to him, she said, "Young man, why have you treated us like this? Why?" So she is angry at Jesus, and so I would highly recommend that you tell this not in the typical detached mother tone that is usually given to Mary, but rather as a real mother who is really upset at her son for putting her through 4 days of real panic, 1 day traveling back to the city and 3 days looking around for him. The translation here in the NRSV of "I've been searching for you in great anxiety" is too formal. "I've been anxiously searching for you. Your father and I have been looking for you everywhere. We were panicked. We were really afraid that we had lost you." All those are possible paraphrases. But I think a better translation would be, "Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." So however you decide to do that, the important thing is to communicate her deep anxiety and her anger at him for what he has put them through. Jesus' response is utterly ingenuous. You know, he can't understand, you know, "Why were you so panicked, Mom? You know, why were you searching for me? You ought to know where I would be." So on the one hand, it's a kind of typical adolescent smart kid response. You know, "Why were you so anxious, Mom? You ought to know where I was." But it's also an authentic expression of the typical adolescent preoccupation with whatever it is that they're doing that is exciting and not thinking for a minute about, you know, what the consequences might be for mom and dad. And so this story then describes that panic that Mary expressed. So this is a story of Mary dealing with a rebellious adolescent. And just in case that were to be, in fact, the overall impact of the story, the storyteller then says that he went back to Galilee and he was obedient to his parents so that he wasn't a rebellious adolescent and that he grows up well. So this is another instance of a delightful story about Jesus coming of age. And it is the only story like it in the whole of the gospel tradition. So this is one, you know, really worth telling and reflecting on in relation to the dynamics of every child being a gift and a child of God, who is given to parents to enable the destiny, the purpose, what, you know, God has purposed for that child to be as fully fulfilled as possible, but always recognizing that the child belongs to God, not to the parents.